return. Though the path we travel be unknown, our God has given an assurance. We can have peace, we can have joy, we can be strong. He is our strength, He is our strength,
He is our fortress.
We can be sure, we are secure within His hands. He is our joy, our hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand.
Even when I cannot see tomorrow, His word is like a lamp unto my feet.
And when the laughter turns to sorrow, in His embrace we find His grace. When we are weak, He is our strength,
He is our
strength,
He is our fortress.
We can be sure, we are secure within His hands. He is our joy, of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. Well,
I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying the evening.
Amen.
And especially the music has been wonderful today. Where did Joseph go? There he is. Would you mind handing these out to the great congregation, please? Now, there's a reason why I'm quite happy to let you keep repeating 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Number one is I've memorized it. I can say it quite well, and I can remember the reference, because you put 15 and turn it around backwards, you got 51. So 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and I reckon I'll be able to find that for the rest of my days. But there's a very important verse we want to get through tonight, as well as to hold with us very clearly what God means by the mystery. But that's not the whole purpose of our message tonight. It's only a part of it. Now, I started to reproduce an outline by Pastor Lyle. This is Dennis Lyle, and recommended by Simeon. And showing the difference between the rapture, and he had there the revelation contrast. I just sort of took that title. My wife said, they won't even know what that is. Well, I think you will know, you better understand it. That's why I've got the definition of terms there. Okay. But it probably does strike you as strange, because the revelation, we think of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the unveiling of the Lord Jesus. So, but to differentiate between the rapture and the, which is the catching away of the believers, and then the coming of the Lord with His saints to rule and reign, these two terms have been coined by some students of prophecy. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we follow through some of Pastor Lyle's outline, some of it's mine. So That way, if I get persecuted somewhere, I say, he wrote it. So, not really. Okay, let's come to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that we've been very much blessed in this church with teaching on the last things. Dear Father, by way of literature from Herald of Hope, by direct ministry from Herald of Hope, by ministry, dear Father, through the others in South Australia, dear Father, and their series on Revelation and various hard studies they've done upon the Word of God, we thank you for this, that we're truly greatly privileged, dear Father, to know the times in which we live. And we just pray that you help us to consolidate some of these things which we know tonight, and so that we are not befogged, dear Father, when other views or opposing views are presented, we pray. So we ask these things now, that you help us by the power of the Spirit to quicken our hearts, and just not be head knowledge, but it might be, Lord, that we will have our hearts quickened, Lord, with the simple truth that the Lord Jesus could come or call us to himself in the air this very night. And nothing needs to take place before that wonderful event for the church. So help us to see this clearly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So to do that, we're contrasting the rapture with the revelation. The rapture, word rapture, is a theological term. You won't find it in the Bible, so it comes out of the Latin, that denotes the catching away of believers to meet the Lord in the air. We'll see it as we go through the scriptures here. The word revelation is used by students of prophecy, this particular student of prophecy, to denote our Lord's coming with his saints to set up his earthly kingdom. So if you are troubled by the word revelation, just cross it out and put there the Lord coming to reign. So that would help you, the Lord coming to reign. Now the aim of this lesson is to show that these two phases of our Lord's second coming are distinct, separate events. In order to achieve this aim, we shall contrast the rapture with the revelation and see how they're quite different in a number of different aspects and cannot therefore be reconciled as one event. The following is adapted from Dennis Lyle's outline, but also includes some of my own study, which we commence with right now. Number one, this point I want to get across from our memory verse, the rapture is an apostolic mystery. But the revelation, or the Lord coming to rule and reign, is clearly prophesied in the Old Testament, as in Zechariah 4:14. Now, Paul defines an apostolic mystery in Ephesians 3:3-5, which I'll read for you. The Bible defines its own terms. Verse 3, he says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me," Paul's testimony, "the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known," underlined there, "unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." In simple terms, God chose Paul to reveal several church-age mysteries, one being the mystery of the translated saints or Christians. Since Paul claimed that these mysteries were not made known in former ages, then the rapture will not be found in the Old Testament or even in the Gospels. Now, you might have to test that out, that's fine. Because Paul was saying here that in other ages this was not known until it was made known unto his holy apostles. Now, they are the foundations, Jesus Christ being the head cornerstone, they were the foundations on which his body, the church, is built. So even our Lord Jesus' ministry did not major or even go into this area, because it's brand new revelation, and God used Paul to give it to the church because it's particularly church age truth. Dennis Lyle says, in essence, the rapture will introduce the great tribulation with the second coming, while the second coming, will conclude it. All right, so keep that in mind, that this is very important, that the actual truth of the catching away of live believers and the rising of dead believers is in this verse here. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's a lovely Christian word for die. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed, metamorphosed with glorified bodies. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet just sound, the dead are raised, incorruptible, and we, Paul puts himself here, hopefully among those that are still alive, shall be changed. So we have here that reference, and of course it's reiterated in the book of 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, that the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And that truth is not found anywhere in the Old Testament. And I don't believe that truth is found anywhere in our Lord's Gospels either. Now you might differentiate on that, that's fine. My grandfather wouldn't quite agree with that, but that's, I believe that's as close as I can get to what the truth is here. Perhaps I better come out with it and say, well, what was Grandpa saying that you would disagree with? Well, it's, you know, it says there, two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two shall be out in the field, one's taken, one's left. But you see the context, they're fleeing for their lives. They're running across housetops, don't go back into the field. They're actually fleeing from danger on earth here. So I believe that's possibly what the Lord was saying here is to those Jews who are living in that time and already saved probably and open to the word of God, God has given them wisdom to see when the Antichrist starts putting idols in the temple, it's not time to go and dialogue with him at the gate there or do whatever. He said there's something, such a sudden siege of Jerusalem and such terrible suffering, let him that understands get out for your life, and it's woe to those who are with child, and it's just pray that your flight, I wasn't talking about getting in an aeroplane, that your fleeing will not be on the Sabbath day or in the winter. So I believe the rapture is sufficiently covered in the Pauline epistles there. So that's just one small area. If that's all we differed on, I say, well, praise the Lord. That's good. You've got the rest of it all together. And one day when you get to heaven, you'll see I was right. Okay. All right. Now, Pastor Lyle differentiates the rapture from the coming of our Lord to rule and reign down the bottom of page one. And I've just outlined his outline in point form. And it says here, at the rapture, Christ comes in the air. Let's check these references out. We're going to do a bit of Bible drill. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which I'll read for you, which says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the dead ones that have been resurrected, in the clouds to meet the Lord where? Say it, please. In the air. Say it, please. In the air. That's the rapture. Where do we meet the Lord? In the air. Okay. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Whereas the second advent comes, he comes to the earth. Go back to one of the minor prophets just before Matthew. Go find Matthew and go backwards to Zechariah, the last chapter 14 and verse 4. It's one of several verses, shows his, where it says here, verse 3, then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. This is right at Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is taken. And it says, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the south and half toward the south, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel, etc. So, one is very obvious. Our Lord, we had to meet our Lord in the air. The second one, the Lord actually comes to the earth with his saints, and his feet stand in that day on which mountain? the Mount of Olives, and he's very, very visible. You'll be able to see him if you happen to be in Jerusalem. Well, you probably won't be at that time. And looking across the Kidron Valley, you'd see at this terrible time of where Israel's got its back to the wall with a siege and everything. God, the Lord Jesus intervenes, and suddenly gathering on the Mount of Olives, you're going to see the risen Lord and all the heavenly host, and we will be there in that group, I believe, as we come to return with the Lord. Okay, so the rapture comes, Christ comes to the air, the second advent comes to the earth. Now, the only other way you can get those together is to say, well, the Lord comes at one time and we all the Christians go whoop up in the air and then whoop down again on the Mount of Olives. And that doesn't sound very logical to me. I guess it's possible, but it doesn't fit up with the large mosaic of all the other scriptures. Okay. Right, second point Mr. Lyle mentions, B, top of two. At the rapture, the Mount of Olives will remain intact. At the second coming, meaning this, the coming to reign, it will be split in two. We just read the verse, didn't we? The Mount of Olives splits in two, and God makes a way of escape for the remnant, the Jewish remnant, to flee out of that siege area, just as the Lord, I believe, had prophesied in the Olivet Discourse. Right, let's see. At the rapture, believers will be transformed. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:52. Well, we know it. There it is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be, what's that word? Changed. There's going to be a great change take place at the rapture. What sort of change will that be? We'll get our new bodies, like under his glorious body. And what a wonderful thing that will be on that day there. That's why John could say in 1 John, when we see him, we shall be like him. For shall see him as he is. All right. At the rapture, believers will be transformed. At the second coming, Pastor Lyle says no one is transformed. And I've been thinking and pondering about that. And I haven't been able to contradict that yet. So it's all right. You have to do that. You have to test everything, okay. All right, point D of Mr. Lyle's outline. At the rapture, Christ comes for his saints. At the second coming, Christ comes with his saints. Now, I don't know whether 1 Thessalonians 3:13 is correct, reference there, or whether it's a typo, but I'll go to Jude 14. I didn't feel I could correct it because I wasn't sure that it was made quite sense. Jude 14 is the last, second to last book in the Bible. John, Jude, Revelation, and verse 14. There's only one chapter there. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds. So the point we're making here is that he comes with his saints. The Lord comes with his saints. In the rapture, he comes for them. He meets them and snatches them away. All right, point E, Christ's coming for his saints is never said to be preceded by signs in the heavens. Now, that's an important point there. Christ's coming for his saints is never said to be preceded by certain signs in the heavens or signs at all. That's a very important point he's making here. But Christ's coming with his saints to rule and reign will be preceded by some definite signs. Let's look at Matthew 24:29-30. Matthew 24:29-30. Which reads, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall they all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So there's signs that precede our Lord's coming in power and glory to set up his reign, or if you're going to use Mr. Lyle's thing, the revelation. Okay, now point F, the rapture is presented as a time of blessing. And I think 1 Thessalonians 4:18 leads to say, therefore comfort one another with these things. Let's see what it says here. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. 4:18. Yes, it is. So it says here, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And here it is, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So he says here, that the rapture is presented as a time of blessing. The second coming, or the revelation, as we talk here, is presented as a time of judgment. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 1, 8-12, which says here, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. So Pastor Lyle saying here that the rapture is presented as a time of blessing, the second coming is presented as a time of judgment. That's very much the case. So the G, he says, the rapture seems to involve the church primarily. And he quotes the verses we've memorized, behold, I show you a mystery, and that's church age truth, as we pointed out. The second coming, or the revelation, seems to involve Israel and the Gentile nations. Let's look at Matthew 24, 1, 25, 46. Matthew 24, verse 1. Not sure about that.
Saying it's from Matthew 24, verse 1.
That's right, the way through, I think all the way through, should have a dash there. So he's talking about here the primary people involved here is Israel and the nations, and that's very much so. So he was asked, of course, about when the temple would be destroyed. And as he sits upon the Mount of Olives, he is giving this great discourse. And he's talking very much, again, about false prophets and about Jerusalem and the nations that come against Jerusalem. And so I believe he carries us there, Dennis Lyle, that the rapture is primary church truth, involves the church primarily, and the second advent, or they're coming to rule and reign in power, involves Israel and the Gentile nations. All right. Now, he makes this sort of concluding comment. I've put down pretty much everything he had on that sheet of paper. Scripturally speaking, the come up hither in Revelation 4:1 is the rapture, but the appearance of the white horse rider and his armies in Revelation 19:11 is the revelation, or the appearing of our Lord Jesus in power and glory. Let's check those verses out as we go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 4:1. And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, this is John speaking, which said, come up hither, or come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on him on the throne there. And it talks about the 24 elders, etc. So you find twice in the book of Revelation, heaven is opened. That's one. In chapter 4 and verse 1, he saw heaven opened, and God says to him in the church age, come up here and I will now show you everything that's going to happen after this, after the church age. So John who's viewing all these holocausts from heaven. When he sees the rise of Antichrist and the mystery of Babylon and the kings of the East, he's watching over this from heaven, which is very much gives us the assurance that we'll be there with him, watching this from heaven, watching down on it, having been caught up prior to the time of Jacob's trouble. Let's go to chapter 19 of Revelation. The only other time, this is a good argument, a very easy one to show perhaps Christians who have a bit of a knowledge of the Bible. In chapter 19 and verse 11, we see heaven open for the second time. And he says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. I wonder who that is. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's none other than the Lord Jesus. And when the second time heaven is opened, this rider with his accompanying forces is coming out of heaven and descending upon earth. So what Pastor Lyle says, scripturally speaking, the come up hither of 4:1 is the rapture, but the appearance of the white horse rider and his armies is the revelation or the coming of our Lord to put down enemies and rule and to reign. Now, a few further notes by myself here. We'll continue. A, our Lord's coming for his saints is secret, but his coming with his saints is public. Right? Let me just put this in simple words. I believe that when we're caught up to meet the Lord of the air, the world will be largely not sure what has happened. I don't think from reading the scriptures, it doesn't appear that the whole world's looking up saying, what's going on up there? Simply to be out of this world and caught up to meet the Lord in the air is going to happen so fast. All they'll know about is missing people of these religious things, and they make up their own mind as to how they disappeared, probably an invasion by aliens or something like that, if they just want to be continue in disbelief. So in that sense, the coming of the Lord for the saints, he doesn't visibly show himself to the world, and the believer's going to be caught up so fast, it's not like he's actually, it's a secret rapture. Make no apology for that. But his coming with the saints is public. So 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we've been there, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And the word means to snatch away speedily. Kenneth Weiss explains the various meanings according to Warren Wiersbe in his book Be Ready. He heard him preach this, I think, at one time personally. And he said, Dr. Kenneth Weiss explained the various meanings of the Greek word translated caught up. And he said it means to catch away speedily. He said it's used in Acts 8:34 where the Spirit caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. He was caught away so speedily, he was found in those Zetas, he was actually translated. He was at A and there's at B. So that's how we'll be with the Lord. We'll be standing on there, then we'll be suddenly with the Lord. We won't be sort of moving up in a very slow elevator. Also, it's used for the idea of to seize by force. Remember John 6:15, our Lord's family came and were determined to seize him by force and put him into forced rest because they said he's losing his mind. To seize by force, which could indicate that the Lord is going to actually rescue the church. There's a rescue component in it to rescue us out of the apostasy that's coming through the church. And I sometimes think if the Lord didn't do that, there'd be just nobody standing in those days of terrible apostasy as we approach that threshold of the tribulation but not enter it. So the apostasy of the church, I believe, could be so great. God basically says, I think it's time we rescued the whole lot of you and pulled you out of here. Otherwise, they're all going to be apostatized. All right. Also, Kenneth Woos said, it's also used in the term to claim for oneself. And our Lord will, of course, claim his bride at this time. We are his bride. We are the bride of Christ, and he's coming to catch his bride away, says the hymn. Also, it's used in Paul's case in 2 Corinthians 12, 1-4, where he said he was ascended into heaven. It means to move to a new place. See Paul's visit to heaven. So we're going to a new place. And then to rescue from danger. Acts 23:10, I can't remember what that is, but you can read that sometime to see where Mr. Woos got that, how it's translated in our Bible. So to catch away speedily, to seize by force, to claim for oneself, to move to a new place, to rescue from danger. That's the word that's used when it says the church will be caught up. So this suggests that the church will be taken home before the time of tribulation, says Mr. Warren Wiersbe. And continuing that theme, page 3 in Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he comes with clouds. You say, well, that we think automatically clouds of glory, but some have said clouds of believers, maybe. Could be clouds of believers. Comes with clouds. Could be glory clouds, or could be clouds of believers. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And that's the Jewish nation that I believe that's talking about here, that can consigned him with all their might to be crucified by the Romans. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then B, the rapture is imminent, but that's a new point I've got here. But the revelation is locked into a prophetic timeline. Now, what do I mean by that? Something that's imminent comes without warning, without countdown. If you were here, for instance, and you want to send a rocket somewhere around the world, you say, come and watch the rocket go up. So when's it going? We don't really know. It's in the hands of somebody else making that decision, none of us having to do with that. We will get no warning, but just be here. Be ready. All right? So that's imminency. There's nothing. If we said, no, we're going to have a countdown as this rocket goes to the moon, you know, 50, 49, down 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. All right? And up it goes. That's not imminent. That's projected into a time framework that you can say, right, here's hop, skip, jump, boom. So for us, the rapture could happen at any time without anything happening in Russia, without anything happening in Jerusalem, without anything, unless the Antichrist appears, then we're really wrong with our prophecy. I don't believe we are. But I'm saying in the church age, there's nothing to stop the Lord coming now. He's not saying, well, Father, I'd go now, but, you know, your word says there's going to be Christians are cooling off a bit in the last days of the church. Well, that's true. But that's not a timeline. But how different is the coming of our Lord to rule and reign in Daniel? I'm going to turn there, 9:24, and I hope you get really used to this passage because it's the key to a lot of Ezekiel, Daniel. Chapter 9, verses 24 to 27 is the prophecy of Daniel's 70 sevens, 70 weeks. And the word weeks means simply a seven. 70 sevens is 490 years. times by 360 days a year for the prophetic year. It's got 360 days. You say, how do you know that? Well, go to Noah's building of the ark. See what year he went into the ark and what month and day he got out of the ark. And I think you've got 5 months there. You divide the number of days the Bible gives by the 5 months or the number of months, and you come up with a 30-day month. So that's how God works out time. He uses the 30-day month, not a 31 there and a leap year thrown here somewhere else. So keep that in mind there. So reading now Daniel 9:24 says here, 70 weeks are determined, or 77s are determined upon thy people. Whose people? Daniel's? Who are they? The Jews. And upon the holy city, which city is that? It's Jerusalem. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem under Messiah the Prince, who's that? The Lord Jesus, shall be 7 weeks, 60, and 2 weeks. That's 69 weeks, 69 sevens. The streets shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks, and the seven is included in the context there before that, after the 69th week, Messiah shall be cut off. How was Messiah cut off? He was crucified. So between the 69th and the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week, several things happened that aren't locked into time there. And after 2 weeks, 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, and not for himself. He didn't die for himself. He died for the sins of the world. And the people of the prince that shall come, the wicked prince, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Happened in AD 70. There's two things that happened in the gap. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end the war desolations are determined. And he here is turned to the wicked prince, the one who is the prince of the people, the people of the prince that shall come, is the coming prince out of the Roman block. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, the last 7 years of Daniel's 70 weeks or week year prophecies. And in the midst of the week, it's the 3.5 or 42 months, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He stops the sacrifices of the Jews at the altar. And for the overspreading of abomination, he'll make it desolate. He desecrates the holy place, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, that's the time frame, as clear as you get it anywhere in the Bible. Once the Antichrist has signed an agreement, or the order into agreement with Israel in the last days for a 7 year period, that's what sets the clock ticking now. No longer a gap of the church age with these various things there. The temple will have to be rebuilt somewhere in that area, I believe, unless they're going to get it up mighty fast in the first 3.5 years, which is possible, but we may see the beginnings of that sort of thing, which tells us what's happening for the day of the Lord and for the Lord coming to rule and reign, but doesn't tell us when the rapture is. The rapture could happen before one stone is laid on the Jerusalem temple, and it certainly will happen, we believe, before Antichrist comes on the fray there. So we know that when the revelation, when the coming of Christ and those things are coming near, we know that the rapture has got to come in before that, and it keeps the Christians awake, but we cannot set the date for the rapture. We had a brother in another church was setting dates for the rapture. He's one of those scientific sort of guys that really got adrenalized over this, and some of our other men that had a bit more, they were good friends about his era. They said, well, can't remember his name, called him Charlie. He said, we're getting our stones ready for you. We're getting our stones ready for you to stone you if you've made a mistake here. Now, they said it in a bit of jest, but it was Gary, that's right. Now, tragically, that man went into a cult after that. So get your prophecy right and stay right and stay there under the truth there. So the rapture is imminent, but the revelation is locked into a prophetic timeline. So if the rapture is somewhere in the tribulation period, it's no longer imminent. And people are saying, well, no, the rapture is not coming now because we've got to wait. Somebody's turned up in Europe and they think he might be the Antichrist, and he's got on the telephone to someone in Israel and say he might be the one that's getting 7 years rolling, so we might have 42 months before the rapture comes. Well, if you believe in the post-tribulation rapture, then you got 7 years, you see. The Lord said, no, you can't do that. Because the rapture is not time-locked into any prophetic schedule that must happen before it happens. That's why the early church that believed in the pre-millennial return of Christ were also many of them were pre-tribulational, and believed that Christ could come at any time in their day, which he could have, if the Lord so desired. Okay, so that's that. Now, see, rapture is accompanied by sounds, but the revelation, or the coming to rule and reign, is accompanied by sights. It's interesting, somebody made that statement there. Here's some of the sounds of the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's a sound, isn't it? With the voice of the archangel, that's Michael. Someone said that maybe Michael's involved here to form a corridor or a safe passage, or to get the demons out of the way in the heavenlies to make way for the church to be raptured from danger. The warring archangel, and with the trump of God. There's three sounds there just in one verse. Then that we which are alive and remain should be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, comfort one another. But in the case of Matthew 24:30, it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, that's the sights. We read some, didn't we? The stars falling from heaven, the sun being darkened, the moon turned into blood. All these things here will happen before the notable day of the Lord, says Joel. So, sights for the revelation, when the Lord will come at the end of that period of Jacob's trouble. Sounds for the believer. They listen for the sounds. Okay, Pastor Lyle summarises, scripturally speaking, he says the come up hither, Revelation 4:1, is the rapture, but the appearance of the white horse and his armies in Revelation 19:11 is the revelation, or the coming to rule and reign of the Lord Jesus. So these are quite different, aren't they? The outcomes are quite different, and what we're saying to you, they can't all be one event. You can't be meeting the Lord in the air and then meeting him at the earth at the same time. To have a secret catching away and a public return. It's just runs into all trouble. So bear that in mind there. That'll help you. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we've had a good day. We thank you for your presence with us. Bless the church, Lord, and those who are here this morning, and those who couldn't be here, those who have been watching online. We pray you will comfort them with these truths. And dear Father, keep us listening for the sounds of his coming. In Jesus' name, amen.